In this series of messages about the blessings of God, you and I have been discovering that if we're going to receive all the blessings that God has for us as we journey through life, that we need to get on the right avenue. That is, we need to get on the right road, or we need to get on the right path. I've said to you that the avenue of salvation is the first avenue that you got to get on if you want to receive the blessings of God that He has for you. And while it is true that there is a measure of God's blessings for all of His creation, ladies and gentlemen, the maximum blessings of God are experienced by those who are in Christ. And that is that someday soon, that there's going to come a day when humanity is going to be leaving this life, and the blessings of this life are going to be over, and lost humanity will find themselves under the judgment of God and under the wrath of God. And ladies and gentlemen, it's those who are in Christ that are going to be experiencing the blessings of God and His presence for all eternity. And so we know while there's a measure of blessing for all of creation, it's only just a measure. And the blessing of God, ladies and gentlemen, the goodness of God is what should lead us to repentance. The Bible tells us it should cause us to realize how much we need Christ. But we live in a world of rebellion, that even though we're enjoying the blessings of God, continue to rebel against God. But for some of you, God brought you to the point in your life where you realized you needed Him, and He wanted you, and He died for you, and He paid the price on the cross, and He brought you to the point as a broken sinner of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God saved you, and you got on a new road. And that is that when God saved you, you became a brand new creature in Christ with a brand new heart, a brand new destination, and you're traveling a brand new road. You're not on that old wide road that leads to destruction, but on the narrow road that leads to life everlasting. Now, as you're traveling down Salvation Avenue, now that you've been saved, there are a lot of different roads and avenues that now you can go down and receive all the blessings of God, different kinds of blessings that God has for your life. There's the avenue of humility as opposed to the proud, and that is that God blesses the humble. We talked about that for a little while, and we discovered there's the avenue of prayer. There's some blessings that you will not receive until you go down the avenue of prayer, and now that you're in Christ, you can get a hold of God in prayer, and there are some blessings that will come your way if you get on that avenue. I've talked to you about the avenue of repentance, and that is that roadblock that we come to as we travel through this life as a child of God. And the reason why we're stopped at a roadblock is because there may be some things in our lives, maybe sin in our life, and maybe some wrong attitudes and some wrong priorities, and all of a sudden you find yourself at a standstill, but you don't have to stay there. And the reason why is because there's an avenue that you can turn right on. It's called repentance. And if you'll repent, listen, if you'll repent of whatever it is that's standing in your way and let Jesus be Lord of that area of your life, then you can keep on moving forward and experiencing more of the blessings of God in your life. Repentance is important in the life of the believer. And so there's the avenue of repentance. And for the past several services, we've been looking at what I've called the avenue of obedience. And that is, if you and I are going to experience the blessings of God in our life like we ought to experience the blessings of God, then ladies and gentlemen, obedience is indeed essential. And the Bible tells us that God expected the Israelites to obey Him in Isaiah 1 verses 18 and following. He said that if you will, that is, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. In other words, you're going to either eat good or you're going to be eaten, and it depends on whether or not you are willing and obedient, if you'll obey God or if you rebel against His will for your life. Obedience is necessary for the Israelites to be able to experience all the blessings that God had for them in the land of Canaan. And even so, now that you're saved, ladies and gentlemen, God expects for us to live a life of obedience as well. You say, well, why would God expect me to live a life of obedience? The reason why is because He's trying to make you like Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus obeyed the will of the Father absolutely and perfectly. And that's what God's trying to do in your life. He's trying to make you like Jesus. And that is one of the areas in which He's trying to transform us into Christ's likeness is in the area of obedience. Let me remind you that there are at least two reasons, and probably many more, why you ought to obey God and why God expects you to obey Him. And number one is because of who God is. And that is that we ought to obey Him just because He really is God. If He is God, listen, if He is God, then we ought to want to obey Him. Now, if he's not, then there's no need of us meeting any further, is there? But if he is, then you and I ought to fear him, reverence him, respect him, and obey God. But the second reason is so that you can be blessed. God wants you to obey him, not because he's trying to keep something good from you, but because he's trying to give something good to you. And he's trying to teach you how to experience all the goodness that he has and the blessings that he has for your life. We discovered the expectation of obedience throughout the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament. God expects his people to obey him, and rightfully so. Not only that, but we looked at some examples of obedience as well. That is, beginning with that boat builder named Noah and moving all the way through, ladies and gentlemen, to that effective evangelist named Philip. Example after example in the Old and New Testaments of men and women of God that obeyed God and received the blessing because they obeyed him. There were many examples of obedience. And then we began looking at what I call the essentials of obedience. That is, we looked not only at the expectation of obedience throughout the Bible, and we looked at not only some of the examples of obedience found throughout the Scripture, and there are many more, but also there are some essentials of obedience. In other words, if I'm going to obey God in my life, then there are some things that are absolutely essential when it comes to doing that. And we've been discovering what they are. One of them that we discovered a week ago, ladies and gentlemen, one of the essentials of obedience is focusing on the voice of God. And that is, if you and I are going to obey God, then we've got to start focusing on what it is that God is saying. That means that we've got to stop listening to the world. That means we've got to stop listening to the flesh. That means we've got to stop listening to demonic lies and distraction. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got to start focusing on listening to the voice of God. What is God saying? And I spent a little bit of time in that message just trying to help us understand how it is that God speaks to us and how we can focus on the voice of God. If you didn't hear that message, you can go back and you can listen to it. But listen to me now. You can't obey God if you're not listening to what he's saying. You don't know what he wants you to do, what direction he wants you to go, what decision he wants you to make if you're not focused on the voice of God. If you're just listening to the world's voice, if you're just listening to your old sinful nature, if you're just listening to demonic lies, then you're not going to live a life of obedience to God. Instead, you're going to live a life that's conformed to the world. Instead, you're going to live a life, ladies and gentlemen, that just follows after the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. You're going to live a life, ladies and gentlemen, that has demonic traffic and strongholds in your life. If you live into the world, the flesh, and the devil, stop listening to that and start listening to God so that you can obey him. You got to pay attention to, focus on the voice of God. Now, the second thing that we discovered that's already been mentioned in testimonies tonight is you got to find out the timing of God. And that is, if you want to obey God, then you need to know what is the right thing to do, but you also got to know about the right time. You see, when it comes to obeying God, God is a God of time. And that is, he operates on a divine timetable. We discovered that throughout the Bible when I preached on that. And that is, God operates on a divine timetable, ladies and gentlemen, in my life and your life. And God has a time for you to do and to obey him. And sometimes you and I need to obey him immediately, and other times we need to wait on God. And remember what I said to you, that waiting is not wasting time. And that is, in the midst of waiting, God prepares us for obedience, that is, at the right time. So if you and I are going to be able to obey God, then we've got to, first of all, focus on the voice of God. And secondly, we've got to find out the timing of God. And then I preached to you a little bit Sunday about following after the will of God. And that is, one of the essentials is just following after the will of God. And there's the idea of following. Remember now, the idea of following means that I'm not in control anymore. It means that I'm following somebody else. They're making the decisions, they're setting the direction, and I'm submitting myself to the one who's in control. That is, I'm surrendering, submitting, and obeying his direction and his purposes and not my own. That I'm not in control anymore, he is. And that is, whatever his will is, whatever his purpose is, whatever his plan is, that I want to follow that, submit to that, and surrender to that. Listen, my life is not about me anymore, it's all about him. It's not about my agenda, it's about His agenda. It's not about my purposes, but it's all about His purpose. Now listen, if you want to live a life of obedience to God, then you've got to follow after the will of God. If God's been speaking to you, and you know it's the right time, then follow His will. Now, I preached to you about that this past Lord's Day, and we learned some important principles that I'm not going to repeat to you tonight. You can go back and you can listen to that message. There's a fourth essential that I'm going to speak to you about for a little while this evening. If we're going to be obedient to God, go down the avenue of obedience, we not only need to focus on the voice of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we not only need to be finding out the timing of God, and not only following after the will of God, but I tell you, the fourth essential is faith in the person of God. Listen, when you focused on the voice of God and you found out the timing of God and are following after the will of God, it's very possible that God will lead you in a direction that you may have never gone in before. He may lead you to do things you've never done before. And many times God doesn't give us all the details about how it's going to turn out. Now, that's what I like, and it's kind of my personality, but that's what I like, and that is I like to know all the details. In detail, by the way. And I like to know how this is all going to turn out before it ever turns out. So I'll know whether it's safe or whether it's not. And that's just kind of the way I am. But here's what I've been learning about God after walking with God many years, and that is, ladies and gentlemen, is that God doesn't always give us the details about the direction that He's leading us in, and that is where it's going to end up and how it's going to end up. He just doesn't. God just begins to speak to you, and you begin to hear the voice of God, and you know that it's a time of God, timing of God is right now. I need to take this step in my life. I need to move in this direction in my life. This is the will of God, and so you just start following after. Hey, you may not know where it's going to go or how it's going to end up and all the details about it, but you just know, and so you just start stepping. You just don't know. God doesn't lay all of that out there for you. You say, Pastor, I'm waiting for God to reveal more to me. Listen to me now. If He's revealed something to you, then step in that direction. There's no need to wait any longer. If you know it's the will of God and you know this is the time, then go ahead and follow after the will of God. And listen to me now, you can do that because of faith in the person of God. Listen, it can be frightening and scary to follow after the will of God because you don't know all the details, you don't know how it's all going to end up. And so it can be frightening. And listen to me now, it is fear that paralyzes us from traveling down the avenue of obedience to God. And sometimes that's where we get stopped. And that is, I want to obey God, but I am afraid. Maybe we're afraid of what people are going to think if I obey God. It may be that we're afraid of the price that we might have to pay if we live a life of obedience to God. It might be that we're afraid of the battle that we're going to have to face if we step down the road of obedience to God. It might be, ladies and gentlemen, that we're afraid concerning the uncertainty of what might happen, not knowing for sure what's going to take place and not knowing for sure the certainty of what's going to happen. Just that uncertainty can create some fear on the inside of us. And so we stop right there, paralyzed by fear. Now listen, there are two kinds of fear. There's good fear and bad fear. And that is, good fear is the fear that motivates. That is, it's the fear of God that motivates you to reverence Him, to worship Him, and live for Him. But there's also a bad kind of fear as well. Good fear will motivate you. That is, if you're standing out in the middle of the road and there's a car coming really fast and it's not braking, fear will cause you to get out of the way. That's good fear. But there's also the fear that paralyzes you, and that's bad. It's the fear that stands in your way of being obedient to God. That is, I want to obey God. I know what God wants me to do, but I won't do it. And the reason why is because I am afraid. I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I don't know. There's so much uncertainty with it and of what might happen that we just stand there and we don't move forward, paralyzed by fear. Well, maybe that's not where you want to be in your life. And that is, it's possible that some of you want to continue to move forward down the avenue of obedience and don't want to sit around fearful of how your family might respond if you obey God. Fearful about how it is that you might be received or perceived if you obey God. Fearful of the fact that it might cost you might have to sacrifice some financially to obey God. And that is just paralyzed by fear. Maybe you don't want to stay there and live like that. Maybe you'd like to just continue to move forward in your walk of obedience, down the avenue of obedience. Say, Pastor, how do you overcome this fear? Ladies and gentlemen, the answer is faith. It is faith. Faith is what overcomes our fear and enables us to live in obedience to God, to continue walking forward in our lifestyle of obedience to God. I'm talking about faith in the person of God. It's essential if you're going to live a life of obedience to God. Listen, I may not know where all the will of God is leading, but God does. Oh, he does. You see, in His person, God is omniscient. He knows everything. And so you know what that means? I don't have to know, because He does. And the God who knows everything, all I have to do is just follow His will, because He knows where it's leading, He knows where it's going, and I can trust and just have faith in His omniscient person, that He knows everything. Hey, I can trust Him. I don't have to know everything, because He does. Listen, I may not have the ability to do what the will of God is for me to do. You say, Pastor, I'd like to obey God, but I'm just afraid I won't be able to do it, that I won't have the ability to do it. Listen, I may not have the ability, but God does. God does. You see, in His person, ladies and gentlemen, in His person, God is omnipotent. That means that He's all-powerful. That means I might not be able to do it, but there's nothing too hard for God. God can do everything. There's nothing impossible to God. So if God's leading me and speaking to my heart, working in my life, and I know what He's telling me, and I know the direction I need to go in, I know what His will is for my life, I know it's time to do it. You say, Pastor, what if you can't do it? Well, I'll just have to trust Him to do it. Amen. I sure will. I'm just going to step out by faith. Faith, listen, faith not in me, but faith in the person of God, that God is omnipotent, He's all-powerful, and God can do it. Hey, listen, I might not be able to see into the future. You say, how you think it's going to turn out? And I just say, I don't know. I can't see into the future, but ladies and gentlemen, God can. He sure does. Did you know that God is omnipresent? That means He's everywhere all the time. That is, everywhere He may lead, He's already there. He sure is. You say, how could it be already there? Because God is an eternal, omnipresent God, so that He's in the past, the present, and our future all at the same time. He already knows what it is because He's already there. He's an eternal God, ladies and gentlemen. And for that reason, I can't go anywhere that God isn't already there. God will never lead me any place that He's not already there and already working. What I'm trying to describe to you is that I don't know how it's all going to turn out, but God's got it already all turned out. Amen. I just don't see it yet and don't know it yet. But I tell you that I can trust Him. Now listen, if you want to live a life of obedience, then you've got to put your trust, your faith in the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful God. You got to trust Him and follow after Him. You got to operate by faith. Otherwise, you're going to get so far in a life of obedience and you're going to stop and you're not going to go any farther than that. And that is, you're going to be sitting there paralyzed by fear, sitting there not going anywhere and waiting for God to show you how it's all going to turn out. Why don't you just trust Him to take care of how it all turns out and just walk by faith? That is, a life of obedience, ladies and gentlemen, it is essential. That is faith in the person of God. Let me just read to you some verses from the Old Testament to reinforce what I'm talking about. For example, in Psalm 31. In Psalm 31 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." That is, the Bible says that the goodness of God is all stored up, ready to be given out. The blessings of God ready to be given out to them that fear God. That is a respect God. Now listen to the rest of the verse, which thou hast wrought or worked for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. In other words, all the goodness of God, the blessings of God's all stored up and all worked up and worked out, and it's worked up and worked out and stored up for those who fear God and who trust in Him. That is, who rest their faith in Him. The Bible says in Psalm 32 and verse number 10, listen to this. It says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Everywhere he turns, those who are trusting, living, walking by faith, mercy's everywhere they go. The Bible says it just surrounds them everywhere they are. Psalm 34 and verse number 8. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Listen to this next phrase. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Who is it that's blessed? That is, it's the one who trusts Him. The Bible tells us here. Listen to Psalm 37 and verse number 3. Psalm 37 and verse number 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, or do what is right. That is what is the will of God. So thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You're going to be blessed. You're going to live in the land, Israel, and be blessed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Hey, you want to walk in the right way? Get in God's way. Commit your way to Him, and just trust in Him and walk in His ways. The Bible tells us here, and God will bless you. Listen to the book of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. In Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Let me repeat that. Trust Him with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. Hey, you won't be able to figure out the will of God, but trust Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And you know what He'll do? He'll direct your path. And I have a feeling that path is going to lead to blessing, don't you? Yeah, just trust in Him. The Bible tells us here. Remember what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter number 26. Listen to these words. Isaiah 26 and verse number 3, he wrote, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Trust Him, Isaiah tells us. I love what Jeremiah said. Listen to Jeremiah chapter number 17. Listen to these words beginning in verse number 5. Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm or his strength, and whose heart departs from the Lord. Let me repeat that for you. Ready? Cursed be the man that trusts in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart is departed from the Lord. Here's what he'll be like. The Bible says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. The Bible says the man, ladies and gentlemen, who will not trust in God, I tell you, the man who is cursed, ladies and gentlemen, and that is, he's been trusting in man instead of God, who's made flesh, his own flesh, his strength. The Bible says he's like a desert where nothing grows, where there's no water and nothing is growing, and that is, his life is dried up. It is cursed. In other words, the blessings of God have dried up in that man's life. But look at the opposite of that in verse 7. Blessed is the man, cursed is the man, verse 5, but blessed is the man, verse 7. Who is blessed? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. He's trusting in God. That is, he's believing and trusting in God's direction for his life. His hope, ladies and gentlemen, is the Lord. The Bible says he'll be like a tree that is contrary, opposite, ladies and gentlemen, of that deserted area where nothing is growing. In verse 6, this man is like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. That is, her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This tree never dries up. That is opposite of verse number 6. Everything's dried up like a land that is dried up, and a salt land where nothing grows. Opposite of that is a tree that never even withers. That is, the reason why is because it's rooted down. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you that you can either be cursed or you can be blessed. It depends on who you trust in. You want to trust in man or trust in God? Now, if you trust in man, you're going to be at a standstill in your life. And that is, if your flesh is your arm or your strength, then you're going to have nothing more than the lost world. You're going to enjoy nothing more than the lost world enjoys. Matter of fact, you'll look as much like a lost person as you do a saved person. You'll be living like a lost person, have the values of a lost person, living a worldly life, a life that Paul said is conformed to the world instead of transformed by the renewing of the mind. But if you'll put your trust in God, if you'll say, you know what, I trust God, I believe God, then you can move out beyond that and start living a life of obedience to God. And that's a life that leads to blessing. So instead of being like a parched land, you can be like a tree whose leaves never, ever wither. You see the point? If you're going to obey God, listen to me now, then faith in the person of God is absolutely essential. Now, I want to give you some examples of this. The Bible is full of them, but I want you to see it. I want you to see it in action. And there's so many stories, and I'll just give you a few examples of some of them. One of them is one of our favorites, right? It's David and Goliath. You remember the story in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, where the Bible tells us about this giant named Goliath, the Philistine giant. He's from Gath, and he's got all these brothers, and they're big. I mean, these guys are big. I mean, they're not just big, they're big. And the Bible tells us that the Philistines and the Israelites are battling it out. And there's a valley between them. And in that valley, here comes Goliath. And he is challenging any warrior from the Israelite camp to come down in the valley and battle with him. And they'll fight it out in the valley. And whoever wins, that's going to be the winner. If the Philistine giant wins, then the Philistines win. If the Israelites can send a soldier to defeat the Philistine giant, then they win. And he challenges them day after day. He's mocking them day after day. And the Bible tells us that these great warriors, if you want to use that term, they are scared. They are paralyzed with fear. Hey, listen to me now. The will of God is for Israel to win the victory. The purpose of God is for them to take the land and win the victory. Ladies and gentlemen, not for the Philistine or the enemies of God to win the victory, but for them to win the victory. But they are paralyzed with fear. Listen, instead of trusting in God, they are paralyzed with fear and they're not going anywhere. They're like a lot of professing Christians today who are standing on the sidelines of the battlefield and will not get in the battle, will not get in with both feet and both hands. And the reason why is because they are paralyzed by fear. They're afraid of how it's going to turn out. They're afraid of what they're going to have to sacrifice. They're afraid of what people are going to think about them. And listen, they're paralyzed with fear just like the Israelite army. And then one day, here comes David. He's just a young man, ladies and gentlemen. He's not a warrior. He's a shepherd. And Dad has sent him to check on his brothers who are in King Saul's army. And you remember the story the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 17 when he got there and he saw what was going on and realized that Goliath was down there in the middle of the valley mocking their God. This young man, David, ladies and gentlemen, is the one man, this shepherd boy, is the one who is willing to trust God. He's willing, ladies and gentlemen, to step out by faith and do the will of God. When everybody else is just standing and complaining, he's ready to go. When everybody else is standing back and criticizing, he's ready to go. You can almost hear him down there in the Israelite camp as the soldiers gather together and they're probably saying something like this, well, I'd go down there and I'd take on that Goliath. I'd go down there and do it, but I just don't like old King Saul. And I'm not going to stick my neck out there for that guy, that King Saul. I don't like him. And so I'm just not going to do it. I could do it, but I'm not going to. And the reason why is because I just don't like King Saul. You say, Pastor, would that really be true? No, that would just be an excuse. You know what an excuse is, don't you? It's a reason, ladies and gentlemen, stuffed with a lie. That's all it is. The reality is they're standing there paralyzed by fear. There may be others who would say, well, I'd go down there and I'd defeat that guy, but I'm just really busy. I've got my job to do, and I can't stay here forever. I've got a job back home, and I've got the grass is getting ready to go, and I got to go mow the grass. And my wife is expecting me home anytime soon, and the kids, they've got ball games. I just can't go down there and commit myself to the battle where the real battle is at because I've got all these other things that are going on. So I can't do it. And I'll tell you the real reason why they won't go down there. Is because they're afraid. You see, I thought they had ball games. They're afraid of what the kids are going to think. I mean, what's my kids going to think if I put God first in my life? What's my wife going to think if I put God first in my life? What's my neighbor going to think if I put God first in my life? If you want to set a good example for your kids, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be in the sidelines of a ball game. It's going to be in the middle of serving God. That's where you set the example. It sure is. Well, listen to me. They're all sitting on the sidelines. And old King Saul, head and shoulders above everybody else, the biggest man around, is hiding in his tent. But David comes along. You remember the story. Got to hurry up here a little bit. David comes along and just this little shepherd boy and sees what's going on. And ladies and gentlemen, God must have got to speak into his heart. And God not only got to speak into his heart about what he ought to do, but he got to speak into him about the timing. He said, why don't you just go ahead and do it? And David said, if you guys aren't going to go down there, and I'm paraphrasing, then I will. Here's what David said to Saul, King Saul. Verse 32, let no man's heart fall or fail because of him. Thy servant, David said, I'll go and fight with this Philistine. I'll do it. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth, and this is a man of war from his youth. David, you can't do that. You're just a little guy, and he's a big man. David said, you don't know. He said, I've been taking care of my father's sheep. And he said, you don't know. A lion came and a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after and I smote both of them. That is the lion and the bear, and delivered that little sheep out of his mouth. And I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. And he said, this thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. That's what's going to happen. Finally, Saul said, David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And he gave him his armor, and David said he didn't need all that stuff. Took his little staff in his hand and his slingshot and found some, Bible says, 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his little shepherd's bag. Went down there in the valley. You say, he only needed one. Well, this guy had 4 brothers. I imagine he was ready for them too, don't you? And went down there in the valley, in the middle of the battle, not standing on the sidelines, not offering an excuse, not sending around saying, I'm just a little guy. He could have said that. He could have said, I'm just a youth. I'm just a young man, and I can't go down there and battle with him. I can't do that. I can't do that. And God all the time is saying, I want you to go. I want you to go. I want you to go. I want you to go now. Now's the time. And ladies and gentlemen, he could have just offered an excuse, but instead, he stepped right out there in the valley. Now listen, I'm going to tell you what's motivating him to step out there. Are you ready? It's not his ability. You say, he must have been a really, really able young man. No, it's not his ability that's motivating him. You say, if I was able to do it, I'd do it. It's not your ability that motivates. It wasn't his ability. It wasn't his size. It wasn't even his experience. You say, well, I was more experienced. Listen, it wasn't his experience. He had heard from God and decided he's going to obey him. By faith. What motivated him was faith in the person of God. That's what it was. Listen to what happened, and then we'll move to another example as we have time. The Bible says when he went down there into the valley, it says the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that thou camest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I'll give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Can you imagine a little David facing this 9-foot giant? Speaking to him like that, David, here's what he said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I'll smite thee, take thy head from thee. I'll give it to the carcasses. I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." And you know that's what happened, don't you? He went down there in the valley. He swung that slingshot, hit him right between the eyes. He fell down, ladies and gentlemen. And David came upon him, took his sword, cut his head off, and carried it around for just a little while. What was it that motivated this young man to obey God like that? I'll tell you what it was. It was faith in the person of God. Don't you remember the story about the three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter number 3? I'll have to paraphrase for the sake of time. The Bible says, "O King Nebuchadnezzar built an image of himself and wants everybody to bow down." Ladies and gentlemen, you got to bow down to the image. When the music starts playing, you better bow down. And the Bible says that when the music started playing, everybody bowed down except for these three Hebrew children. Maybe there were others, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to the image. It was reported to the king that they wouldn't bow down, and so he brought them to before him in his presence. And I said that everybody has to bow down to this image when the music plays. You've got to bow down. I'm going to give you one more chance, and you better do it. And so the music started playing, and they would not bow down. And ladies and gentlemen, the king was furious with them. You see, the law was if you didn't bow down, you get thrown into a fiery furnace. But these three guys would not bow. You know the reason why? Because they knew the will of God. They'd been listening to what God had been saying. You said God had been speaking to them. We know God had been speaking through His Word. The Bible says that we're not to have any graven images. We're not to worship any other god. And they knew the Word of God. They knew what God was saying, ladies and gentlemen. They knew the timing of God right now. They could not. They had to obey God right then when they were being commanded to bow down to some idol. They would not do it. And they followed the will of God and refused to bow. You say, how could they do that knowing the fiery furnace? How could they stand so strong? I'll tell you the reason why. It's because of faith in the person of God. Here's what they said. Verse 16 of Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. Here's what they said to the king. "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." How could they take that stand that's going to cause them to get thrown into a fiery furnace? How could they obey God like that? I'll tell you the reason why they didn't is because they trusted God. It's because of faith in the person of God. I remember reading about the Israelites at Kadesh Barnea. You can find this story in Numbers chapter number 13. The Bible tells us that the Israelites have left Mount Sinai where they received the law of God and they're on their way to the land of Canaan. God wants to bless them, ladies and gentlemen. He wants to bless them in the land of blessing, the land that is flowing with milk and honey. Listen, God brought them out of Egypt across the Red Sea through Mount Sinai, and now it's time to enter into the land of Canaan. The voice of God has spoken. God has said, this is the land. This is where I want you to take this land. Hey, the timing of God is right. Now's the time to take the land. The will of God is to take the land that God promised them. They had sent these spies into the land, 12 of them. They spent 40 days in the land. When they came back, ladies and gentlemen, they gave a report about how wonderful the land is, how blessed the land is. But there are a lot of people there, a lot of soldiers there, a lot of well-fortified cities, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And all of a sudden, they found themselves, ladies and gentlemen, cringing in fear. And they won't move forward. They won't take another step forward. Obedience to God led them out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. Obedience to God led them to Mount Sinai where they received the law of God. And now the next step of obedience is to take the land that God has promised to them, and they are stopped. They won't continue down the avenue of obedience. They're halted right there. And the reason why is because of fear. The Bible tells us that that night, after the report of the spies came, you could hear them wailing all over the camp. They're crying in fear and desperation. Have Moses, have you brought us out here just for us to die out here in this wilderness? Is that what you've done? The next day they decided they was going to kill Moses and Aaron and go back to Egypt. God interrupted their plans. He sure did. God said to Moses that he was going to wipe them all out and start over with him. Moses got to praying and pleading with God and interceding. And God said, I won't do that, but I'm going to turn them out into the wilderness for 40 years. And not a one of these folks are going to be able to enter into the land of blessing. Listen, the reason why they didn't enter in is because they wouldn't obey God. They come to this point and they wouldn't step out in obedience to God. And the reason why they didn't obey Him is because, ladies and gentlemen, they backed away in fear and would not step forward by faith. The New Testament writers make it clear to us that the reason why they didn't enter in is because of unbelief. They would not trust God. And they spent the rest of their life, listen to this, wandering around in a wilderness instead of enjoying the blessing of God in Canaan. Now listen, I wouldn't want that for anybody in this room. I wouldn't want that for anybody listening to this message tonight. That is, you've been delivered out of Egypt, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. You passed through the waters of the Red Sea, identified with Moses. You've been walking and God's been providing for you. There's the manna and there's the water from the rock and there's the Word of God given to Mount Sinai. And then you reach that point in your life where God is wanting you to go ahead and step on forward and receive this blessing. Go down this road. Oh, it's going to be a battle. Listen to me now. There are indeed giants in the land. There are great warriors in the land. There are great walled cities in the land. They're there. That's right. It's going to be a battle. But listen to me now. God is able. He's able. As a matter of fact, the next generation is going to find out that if all you got to do is march around the walls a few times and they come tumbling down, amen. I mean, listen, God is able. You can trust God. Go ahead and just obey the will of God. Step out by faith and trust Him. And you know what will happen? You'll find yourself in the land of blessing. Now, that's what Moses is. And Joshua and Caleb, that's what they were ready to do. The Bible tells us that Joshua and Caleb, two of the spies, said, let's go take the land, let's do it, and let's do it now. Now's the time. Take the land. They were ready to go. Ladies and gentlemen, those two men had the great privilege of being able to enter into the land of Canaan. Some 40 years later, Joshua leading and Caleb leading those Israelites into victory. That is another generation later. What I'm trying to describe to you and give you an example of is one of the essentials of walking in obedience to God. If you're going to obey God and continue to obey Him and not get stopped in this avenue of obedience and experience all the blessings that God has for you as you live a life of obedience, you're going to have to trust God. If you've been focusing, hearing the voice of God, and you know what's the timing of God, then why don't you just go ahead and follow the will of God? Why don't you go ahead and do it? Trusting, resting your faith in the person of God. The writer of Hebrews gives us, in Hebrews chapter number 11, a whole chapter full of examples of men and women of God in the Old Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible says obtained a good report, had a good testimony, that they obeyed the will of God for their lives. Well, it begins with the man named Abel, who came and offered to God the right sacrifice, didn't he? And he obeyed the will of God. His brother didn't, Cain didn't, but he obeyed the will of God by bringing the right sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason why is because the Bible says he did it by faith. He trusted in what God had revealed to him about the sacrifice, the right sacrifice, the blood sacrifice that was to be offered. The writer of Hebrews tells us about Noah. He said that Noah went and built this ark that saved himself and his family. And you know what he was doing? You know what Noah did? The reason why he obeyed God? The Bible says in Hebrews 11, the reason why he obeyed God is by faith. He trusted, he believed, he rested his faith in the person of God. If God said, build an ark, then I'm just going to go ahead and step out by faith and do it. Now, he could have stood back in fear. He could have been paralyzed by fear. He could have said, I can't build an ark. Man, I can't do something like build something that big. Me? Build an ark? I don't even know what an ark is. I've never seen one. I've never built one. I've never done anything like this. I can't, God, I can't do something like that. He could have done that, couldn't he? He could have done this. He could have said, well, what's my family going to think, me building an ark? I mean, my wife's got other things she wants me to do. Not building an ark. I mean, listen, whenever she's wanting me to do these other things, I'm going to tell her, I'm sorry, but I got to build an ark. How's that going to go over? I mean, what's everybody going to think down at the ballpark? You know, where the kids play ball. And they're going to say, where's your dad? And I'm going to say, they're going to say, well, he couldn't come because he's building an ark. I mean, what are they going to say? He could have backed away in fear, afraid of what everybody's going to think, what everybody's going to say, afraid that he's not going to be able to do it. He could have said, you know what, God, I would do it, but nobody knows what a flood is. They're not going to understand. But instead of all of that, Noah trusted God and just got busy building the ark. You'll never get very far down the avenue of obedience if you don't learn that God can be trusted. You can trust Him. If He's speaking to your heart about His will for your life. And I have a feeling if you're saved, you probably already know where you need to start when it comes to obeying the will of God. You say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I mean, if I'm going to obey the will of God, step out by faith and obey the will of God, I just don't really know where to start. You probably do. Some of you listen to this message, you know that the will of God is for you to go to church, so get up and start going. Some of you know the will of God is for you to get alone with Him and pray every day, so why don't you go ahead and step out by faith and just pray? Some of you know the will of God is for you to witness. Why don't you go ahead and step out by faith and witness to that person that you're around? Just start where you're at. Say, Pastor, I don't know where to go to witness. Start where you're at. Start where you work. Start where you live. Start where you shop. Just start where you're at. God may be speaking to you about something more specific, about what He wants you to do, direction He wants you to go in. Some of you may be having something, or may have something on your heart right now that God's put on your heart. You've been praying about it, and God's been speaking to you about it. You say, I'm just kind of afraid. So why don't you just, if it's the right time, when it becomes the right time, why don't you just step out by faith, trusting God and obey Him? It may be teaching a class. It might be working in some field, some area of ministry. So, Pastor, I'm just not sure I can do it, but He can. If He's leading you to do it, He can through you. Why don't you just go ahead and operate by faith? Why don't you set your feelings aside? Why don't you put your fears on the back burner? Why don't you say, anxiety, I'm not going to let you control my life anymore. I'm going to start operating by faith. I'm going to start trusting in what God is leading and the direction that God is going. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the essentials of obedience to God is faith in the person of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us and how you're operating, God, in and upon our hearts. And God, I pray that you'll bless everyone here. Father, help us, Lord, to step out by faith in the areas we need to, areas of obedience, God, and some of just the small little areas of our life. But God, there's some that you've got your hand on and that you're speaking to that need to take some really big steps. So would you help them to trust you, to do what is right, to do what they know they need to do. And I'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.